Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fun with Dumb. I am joined by my favorite people and sometimes least favorite, Steffi Bake and Rick Lee.
Let's go.
How you guys doing? Good. You guys look good.
I'm freaking great.
The energy, man.
I feel like we didn't even coordinate.
Come on.
This is some sort of energy synergy thing that happened.
Yeah. You're doing a lot of manifesting. That's a key word that you've been dropping a lot.
How do you feel about the word? Because
Manifest?
Yes. It makes me think of that rapper. Are you guys friends with someone named Manifest?
Yeah, what are you talking about? We've hung
out
with
him. I'm about to walk off.
We've had
right
full dinners and hangouts
him. I don't know people's stage names. I only know them. Like, I know you as John.
Steph?
That's it. You know, and
that's just a beautiful cycle. Yeah. This was my original rap group.
Can you explain real quick what that means?
Yeah. My gift of rap was a gift from God, and what I do with that is a gift back to him. So it's like a cycle. Like, you know those recycle arrows? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like his gift to me. I use it and bless people, and it's a gift back to him. It's one of those.
Wow.
That's nice. Did you feel
were you going to say cute?
Yeah, I stopped myself. Yeah,
you just compared
your rap.
The Holy Trinity to the recycling bin.
Yes, I did.
Jesus Christ.
I did.
Pause. I mean, I don't know why I just paused. Jesus Christ, pause. Sorry. That was wild. That was a wild turn of events. Anyways, Manifest, why is that the key word today?
I think since last month, I kind of got into that mode because this whole year since I've been doing Cash Cuties, the podcast, shout out, please check it out. I started thinking about money, but in a way that I was lacking money. And then I realized I wasn't making money because I kept thinking about how I had to save. And so essentially, I just started literally like a month ago, started thinking about I was going through a breakup and all these things that made me feel like I need to shift my life. You know, breakups make you do like
yeah.
that. I started, I re-listened to The Secret, but this time I listened instead of reading it audibly. And I feel
the book or the Christian song?
The book.
Oh, okay.
Wait, who does the voice of The Secret? And do they whisper it to you?
Rhonda. She's like, do you want us?
It's like, psst.
Manifest.
Don't tell nobody.
Yeah. So go on.
So she does have a very soothing. It's actually the writer Rhonda Burns, I think, is her last name.
Okay.
And anytime I bring this up, people are like, "Of course I know that book." But I know you guys didn't read it. Like, you guys read it like probably 15, 20 years ago when it came out. I am like urging people to listen to it because I think I'm more of an auditory person, so I understood it. Also, in this part of my life, it just like hit me harder.
Yeah.
And this like just idea of a law of attraction, and I know these are basic concepts, but like bringing those things up and realizing like how important our like mindset is. I've literally in the last month shifted my mindset about money and started believing it just will come, and I've already gotten four jobs. Like, I don't think that's just out of randomness.
Wait, so were you usually negative about those things? Like, oh man, I'm never gonna get this job. Is that
this year I started slowly getting into my head about it. Also, just every little thing I started like analyzing. Sometimes when you do therapy, I think you start thinking about your past a lot.
Yeah.
But you have to almost do that to become aware of your present. So like, as I was doing that, I like kind of like lost myself in that. But I realized now I'm matching things like with my heart and my head and like making it into like one thing and then believing things will happen for me and stop living in the past so much.
Does manifesting also have to do with, say, like, I want to live a luxurious life.
Yes.
But if I drench myself in some luxury and like kind of wear the wardrobe of this person I want to be, is that kind of manifesting where I want to
be?
Yeah,
that's forms of laws of attraction. Be who you are. It's like she kind of teaches, instead of being like, I want to be rich, it's I am rich. And I am rich by wearing these things. I am rich. I hang out with people of this sort who are on this caliber. And the more you say it, I mean, it makes sense psychologically. You're just telling yourself these things that make you feel that thing.
Right.
But it's not, my thing is like, I could tell myself like, oh, I'll get that job. But if I don't feel it in my heart, you know, when you like feel it, like you feel it, like when you love somebody and you're just so attracted, it's not just being like, I love you. It's like, I love you. Like feeling it is a different thing, and that makes it like.
Wait, real. Say the I love you twice. The first one, the fake one, and the second.
I love you.
Okay, and then.
I love you. Wow.
They both sounded fake to me.
Really?
Wait, let me ask.
Hold on, let me. I love you.
Whoa.
Did that hit differently?
That hit differently.
It was true.
For all those listeners, you guys run that back, and you guys decide which one really hit. But. What's good, everybody? I know tons of you guys out there are just like me, stewing about a health problem that you have and are resorting to your group text for answers, and it's highly unlikely you'll find them there. Thousands of medical professionals are on ZocDoc right now and ready to help you. They listen like a friend and give you the expert care that you need. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. No more playing doctor roulette, y'all. Or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guy to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient-reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. I have used this service, and it made it so easy for me, something that's been difficult for me for years. Go to ZocDoc.com/dumb, D-U-M-B, and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours, which is amazing. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/dumb, D-U-M-B. ZocDoc.com/dumb, D-U-M-B. Let me ask you real quick. This might be something different from what we were just talking about, but you just kind of breezed through it talking about you just got over a breakup.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just thought of kind of a question. Because you do a lot of accounting and with your finances, right? Like you really, you know,
I'm pretty
think
yeah,
about a lot
I
your
do
future because
it.
You come from real estate and business and stuff.
And I'm just like a logic, I'm more right. logic based. I went to school for pre-med, like I did a lot of science.
So did you, when you are in a relationship, do you break down kind of like what your finances might be like in a relationship?
Ooh.
Like you're about to get in a relationship. You're like, oh, this guy, damn, we're about to be boyfriend and girlfriend. What are my finances going to look like in the next 6 months because I have a boyfriend now?
I didn't most recently. The last few relationships, I did not think about money. But doing this podcast makes me think about it because we get questions from our fans all the time about like, how do you deal with a relationship and money? Like the way Fumi does it, who's my co-host, he has an Excel sheet when it comes to dating and living together. So anytime they buy like toilet paper or anything, he puts that into an Excel sheet.
Wait, is this information that he doesn't mind you sharing?
Yeah, no, we have an episode about relationships and this specifically.
What is he breaking down in this Excel sheet?
He literally has like anytime you buy food, anytime there's furniture, anytime they go on vacation, they split the cost. It's like he created an Excel sheet so you put that information. Because some people, it's literally a discussion. Every person's different.
Right.
And for them, that's what works.
So he splits it right down the middle.
Down the middle. And that works for them because they're both like more analytical people who feel like they can share.
But
that.
Also, that's not something you would do if you have kids. Like you know, now it becomes one.
Now it becomes one. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, our accounts just combined.
Is it combined now, though? Because you guys live together, right?
Yeah.
So is it combined?
It's pretty much combined. We still have separate, like, small accounts here and there, but the majority of it is combined.
And do you guys check each other's balances or no? How does that work?
Purchases?
Or can you? Or do you guys just keep that separate?
Well, no. She gets to update on the phones. You know what I mean? So every purchase that we make, it's on the phone.
This is a good combo. So you and her, have you guys had like a meeting? You know how we all have meetings?
Yeah.
Have you had a meeting with your girl?
You know, we're starting to have more of those because
really?
We need to. You know, like little things. Like it started off with just like, okay, we keep talking about coming up with a name for the baby, but we can't just like say it in passing and have light conversations.
Right.
We have to sit down and also talk about like disciplining the kid, like just planning things out. Even at our last trip to the church, we were talking about like, how are we going to talk about faith with our kid? You know, little things like that. We're trying to be on the same page as humans, you know?
You're like, are we going to be timeout parents? Yeah. Or pooping parents?
Exactly. You know, what age are we going to give the iPad to them? You know,
like, wow, those are real discussions like you guys are having.
I mean, these are topics that we want to kind of like talk about now before like the baby arrives.
Got
because
you.
We don't want to be like hustling, you know, we don't want to be juggling at that point.
Are you gonna have like a child's fund, like a fund for their like college and stuff like that?
For sure, for sure. Like we got a lot of tips about just like kind of putting them on our workforce, you know, like making a company and just getting their
you're gonna make a little working kid, aren't
well,
you?
Well, I mean, because you know he's gonna be a content star.
Yeah,
you know, whether
like,
he likes it or not.
Open those goddamn presents faster.
Exactly.
You're not opening them fast enough.
Taste this.
Oh, I thought you're giving a dab right now. I was like excited.
No, but definitely Donna and I we weren't like that. We didn't really have meetings or sit downs like that.
Before.
Everything was just very jovial, just kind of like, you know, in passing. But we're starting to kind of train ourselves to treat it a little bit more with more professionalism, you know?
Who's going to be the spoiler?
Luckily, because Donna's already a teacher, you know, she's very good with disciplining the kid and also like figuring out how to reach him. I'm going to be the spoiler. I'm going to be the fun, you know? She's the teacher. I'm going to be the Chuck E. Cheese then.
She seems pretty chill though, right?
Oh, she's
not,
super chill.
She's not
strict
or nothing.
No. Because
she,
she teaches 6th, 7th grade. So like, you know, puberty.
That's crazy,
oh,
man.
Oh my gosh.
I can't imagine a tougher job than teaching a 6th and 7th graders.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like the worst age.
They're all rebelling. They're at that time trying to figure out like what coolness is.
Yeah.
Like what's the popular group? What's like
these horny little boys?
They're horny and they're like, what's happening in my body?
I'll tell you some of the things that I've done in 6th, 7th grade that were just terrible. We would get bussed out to the Valley school buses and we, you know, the LA kids were considered the real bad
right,
kids.
Right, right.
We're inside the school bus. We would like get condoms, fill it up with punch, tie it, and then toss it across the school bus, inside the school bus to hit the school bus driver.
Yeah. To hit the driver?
Yeah, and also during that time, laser pointers were huge. We put laser pointers in the people's, like, on the freeway, like, getting people's cars in their eye and stuff.
That's dumb,
it was insane. Throw batteries at people's heads inside the school bus, so things are flying in the bus.
Yeah.
It was so crazy that you've seen these... like World Star Hip Hop videos where like buses pull over and the school bus driver's yelling at the
kids.
Yeah. That was us. Like we were the type of kids that they would snap.
Yo.
I felt so bad about some of the things we did. We were so bad.
Kids like that, they're not like that now, right? Like I can't imagine, are they?
You think they're like really?
I don't know, because I would think if I saw that would go viral. Like someone would have filmed it at this point because everyone has like, all these kids have phones. So like, I don't necessarily seen kids like, like I remember in high school, my friend would put urine into like their Nerf guns. And
piss?
Piss.
Oh my goodness!
Disgusting. I know. And so, but like, I feel like if that happened now, it would be like a huge news thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if those kids
I mean, now I think kids are growing up fast. Now it's not more than just like pranks like that.
It's a they're
fighting
accountable
with each other
because now there's video.
Yeah. There's you know.
Well, I think that. It's so crazy that the world of youth is like kind of a like it's such a secret world that like we don't know what's going on there. Like we don't know what's going on the playgrounds, the conversations and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know
I took out my friend's daughter the other day and
right. She was how old was she?
I was like, she was 13. She's 13.
You took her.
I took her out.
It was like a big
sister
role.
You infiltrated some youth talk?
Dude, exactly. I was all like, right. I like for some reason wanted her to like accept me, think I was cool.
What did you
you
do?
You know, it was my chance to like relive my 13-year-old self.
What did you do? To
did you actually
like...
feel like you had to be kind of cool in front of her? Like what kind of thing would you do?
I was like, how do I use the word riz in the situation right now? who in school has a riz?
Did she know what riz was?
I didn't ask her. I was just joking.
Okay.
But
she's like, no one uses that anymore.
She's like, well, what is wrong?
She's like, okay, boomer.
You know what word she did use? I was trying to like, I wanted her to like me. So I was like, what would a kid want? I'd obviously made some money, so I'm trying to like spend money on people.
Yeah.
Shoot, there were no clothes. I have no idea where kids who are 12, where they can shop. We had limited two, right? Growing up.
Yeah.
Structure. Well, what at your age?
What is
Tilly's?
That? That's like spaghetti straps and stuff like that. Girls used to wear back in the day.
That's such a throwback. Spaghetti straps.
No, for guys, it was like if you're Tilly's like a rocker, it was like Hot Topic and you know things like that. Ross or Marshalls.
Okay, my friend, what they said was like we expect people in LA to seem so cultured because we have so much culture around us, but in reality, like they're not. They're still kids who haven't learned a lot of things. They're still children. So, but again, this is, I think, the age where they start really understanding and developing themselves. But yeah, that was an interesting thing. She kept saying, like, I was like, what kind of clothes do you like? She said she wanted fresh clothing. So that's a term I think that maybe they use.
Fresh is coming back?
No, fresh is old as hell. I used fresh one time. They were like, ew.
Yeah.
She said fresh. She said, I like fresh clothes. And I was like, fresh.
Maybe she literally means
from the factory.
Yeah, straight from the factory.
That's too literal.
That's an old term.
Yeah, that's wild
style. No, I know, but things go in cycles.
She wearing a Kangol or what? What the hell?
That's
dope.
I used sick recently. Ooh. And so I got roasted.
Sick?
But I thought sick was like all, it's timeless.
Yeah.
Is sick timeless?
Yeah, that's sick.
Sick is timeless, right?
I don't think it's
like dope isn't timeless, but sick I thought it was timeless. I usually go to tight.
Tight?
Tight?
What do you mean? Wait, hold on. Tight is out of here, bro.
Hold on, Johnny. Is tight out of here? How old is Johnny? How old are you? 30?
Yeah.
Okay, you're out of here too. You're out of here. Yeah, we don't have we've never had a really young correspondent on our show.
No.
Even Alex is like 30, right?
Yeah, he's on the fence right there. He's on the fence.
I think you have to say things are boring in a weird way. You have to say things are boring. Like that's what these kids are
It's
doing.
So funny because like younger generations like think we're so old and boring and boomerish. Mm-hmm. And I go on like IG and I look at all younger generations conversations and it's like all the same thing. It's like I scrolled through like 10 clips of red flag conversation.
Can we do this again? We talk about how you have a problem with the younger thing.
I don't have no
lame.
Problem with it. I'm just saying.
First of all, why are you on younger IG handles? First of all, let's talk about
they're pods.
Why is he spending the whole morning looking at 13-year-old IG
handles? How do I use these words in a I was like, I need the new slang for my stand-up comedy.
I know. Younger slang is like my urban dictionary now.
Yeah. I think it's like their whole thing is like all about things are like they experience so much because of the internet. I think they just like learn so much, but they haven't gone and done anything. They just have seen everything and learned so much and they do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think in that way I'm kind of worried, and that's why they think things are boring. They haven't tried stuff, but
that's funny. I was thinking about that, how young parents, they get washed because, you know, they get married and then they have a kid and they kind of lose, you know, they lose the pulse. But then when they have a kid, they're back in it because
that's
they're going
true.
To the kid again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Like a lot of my friends who are now, you know, parents of 12, 13-year-olds, they were like, you know, they were dorky. And then now they kind of know what's in again because their kids are into it, you know?
Oh, you think
and I'm going into and I'm asking them just like, you know, it's funny right now. I'm going through like a list of just parents and friends that I know that are good parents, you know, just so I could learn from them and just take notes of advice, the do's and don'ts.
You're looking for the friends to cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad influences out of here.
Sure. For sure. I see some people on Instagram just like the kids are just so well balanced. Like they're cool, but they're respectable. Like, you know, there's just proof that you could raise kids like that. You know what I mean?
Would you trust us separately to hang out with them?
Absolutely.
Kids? Really?
Absolutely. I want, it has to be in moderation though. You know what I mean? I mean, for you guys too, you're not going to want to hang out with the kid that
I'm much. A huge thing for people finding a partner is making sure they come from a good family.
Yeah.
I know a lot. I've even heard you say this, I think, before.
No, you keep saying that. I never said good
because
family.
Because I do. I've heard a lot of women say that. I've heard a lot of women say that.
I'm not saying good family. I'm saying either you come from a place where your parents had a good structure, or they're people who have now understanding the problems they had and they're working on it. There's a it's not just, hey, are you from a good family? I don't believe in that. I think everyone and every family has their own issues, even the ones that seem perfect. I think it's more so, are you an adult who has understood and aware of the things and you don't want to pass those things on?
Yeah, of course. I get it. I mean, it's just like, just sucks because I'm cut out of the whole the possibility there. I mean not that my family was terrible, but I don't think they would judge me as coming from like a very solid family structure.
I don't think people are that like, oh, good or bad family anymore. Like, I think that was something that Koreans like, I remember our Korean parents always growing up and being like, the family matters so much, blah blah blah. But I think now that we have access to so much like mental health and information, I'm not that talking there's about, gonna there's a, you know, there's like a new,
I'm not talking about the economic status of a family. I'm talking about just there are you know, friends who come from a well-structured family and you can tell they were supported and things like of that nature.
I mean, Steph is right, because we have access to mental health and all these things, that definitely that factor is minimized. But Dumb Dude does have a point too. When there's a fracture in the family, like a split or like a you know, the parents divorce, unfortunately what happens is like there is generational abandonment issues or PTSD that kind of trickles down if you don't take care of that. If you don't take care of that through like help and aid, then definitely there is generational repetition that does happen. Not all the time. I don't want to generalize, but people who, I know a lot of great people that came from fractured families that faced that problem head on and they like vowed to themselves they won't allow this to happen again. So they're actually even better than people that come from solid families. So it is a little obsolete to be saying that, yo, fractured families will cause generational trauma.
I don't believe that.
I like the leniency too of the resources. Like, oh, he's almost perfect, he's a little crazy, but there's pills for that, honey. You know, like, don't worry about it. We got a couple of therapy sessions, he'll be fine. You'll get rid of the crazy.
Yo, see the nails, bro. When'd you do it? It's nice.
First of all, I got to remove this before I do my battle. Because
he asked me today. He's like,
I don't care, I just know like you're giving ammo, and the thing is, I'm not gonna win the crowd over. Be like, this is cool. Like, I think they're gonna win on that part of it, like pointing that out. Right. Unfortunately,
it's kind of cool,
you know,
though, honestly,
it is cool, but in the battle rap world, I don't think they're caught up necessarily to being like, this is
just remove one hit.
But that's so offense. Confident if you went in there with that and they did make fun of you, but you had all the things to
say.
Past
going
it.
With, I mean, I have a decision right now, I could remove it,
but
or
do
I
you
can
have
the
right thing?
What do you think, Rick?
Do you think you know what to say? Like, you just need to know what they're going to say, potentially, off the nails.
I mean, they'll point it out, you know, because it won't be, you know, people might not even notice until they point it out. Yeah. That's the thing.
And then once they point it out, do you have stuff to, like, slay back?
Yeah. I already have something in mind. I've already thought of that, just in case. Just in case.
I mean, the world, the universe of battle rap, it's all about low-hanging fruit, you know, unfortunately, you know, more than the wokeness of it and more just kind of, like, being progressive, they'll say some nasty things about it, but you know, it's up to you. Do you have acetone? Do you have some?
I mean, apparently you have to go to the nail shop to even remove this kind of nail.
They're different.
Polish.
They like basically it's basically, imagine plastic shrink wrapping once it's melted onto your nail so that it lasts longer. So
keep it on, fam. Go with pride.
I think that's cool.
No. I mean, wait, hold on.
Wait
no
a minute.
Nah,
you're telling me to go in full, all in.
Yo, it's kind of hot in here, bro. Do you?
Let's get the AC
going.
What's
your thermostat situation like?
Oh, thermostat. Great segue into the thermostat. We were talking about thermostats earlier.
No, it is. Right now at home, we're at 72 constantly. Because Donna's like, she's overheating because of the kid.
72 is a good number.
72 is a good number. Could you sleep at 72? What's your sleep?
I don't like sleeping to AC on. I like 74, 75.
When I sleep, I live in an old building in the east side. And so there is no air conditioning. And it gets,
wait, what?
I know, it's crazy. It gets so hot. So I have all the windows open. But the thing that I have that's, I literally feel like I'm going to die every single night is I have one of those ceiling fans, like the old school ceiling fans. And I can't get out of my head.
Let's debunk that.
Dude, that's scary.
You're not going to die.
I know, but I can't. I sleep with like one... when I open in ways, but I have to stay cool. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's scary because it also, the way
it kind of shakes.
It's unnatural. I don't think that I, did you ever grow up with a fan?
I did.
The ceiling fan one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. That shit looks like it's about to potentially drop on you.
I'm not a fan of the,
I'm not a fan of the fan.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The fan. I feel like that's a very like American thing to live in. But I think it's 70. I have a feeling it's about a 72.3%.
There's
like,
no degree. Way you could be at 72 without AC. That's crazy. Wait, so you don't have central air or you don't have like an air conditioned unit at your house?
I don't like when air blows straight at me too and I could feel it blowing on me.
Right, right.
I need it just
right.
I do have that little wall heater thing that's like weirdly attached to the house, but it's in the living room and it does not hit the bedroom, so it's only useful when I'm sitting right in front of it, so I don't have air conditioning, and I'm like,
that's crazy.
I know, it's really like, but 70, I would say even if I was in a hotel, I like a good 74.
Oh,
five.
When I'm at a hotel, I'm at 68, 69.
Ew, that's so cold.
I like it frigid.
That is cold.
You like it fresh.
I like it frigid. Yeah, literally. You could leave like a drink on the dresser and you come back and it's easy to drink. Like, I love it frigid. And I cannot stand. Okay, are you more tolerant to cold or hot? Could you survive better in a hot climate or?
Yeah, more hot than really? Cold. I think cold, it feels sad and oppressive. you know what I love? Do you drink water at night? Like, do you guys have a water bottle next to you?
You know what I'm doing now?
What are you doing?
I'm warm water only. Well, I mean,
really?
That's a mature thing.
I'm warm
thing to
water
do.
Only. Yeah, just because I heard it just melts down fats inside your body and stuff.
Yeah.
So like during the, you know, now I'm doing like the food like stuff and stuff like that. I want to, can I talk about this real quick?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I went to Bledsoe's the other day. Kevin Bledsoe's
barbecue Southern style.
I took your trainer Dan with me, and that was maybe the biggest mistake I've ever made.
You took a personal trainer with you.
First of all, I took a owner of a vegan restaurant to a barbecue spot, you
and
know?
He's a trainer who's and very health conscious.
Yes, and you know, I much love to the guy. He wasn't trying to be judgmental or anything like that, but just I was in my head because usually I'm surrounded with people that are egging me on, right?
Yeah.
I could see him counting the calories on the stuff that's on my spoon, right? So I will eat something, and while I'm chewing, he's like, is this worth the views on your Instagram? I'm like, it's like inviting someone to my swim meet. And he's like, you shouldn't be in water.
Right.
Like, to be honest, he's like the guy who I'll be on a good health kick because I have something coming up.
Yeah.
He's the one that's like, do you want a cookie after? He's the one that has the sweet tooth, honestly.
Yeah. No. And I say this respectfully. Like, I know he had good intent. But it's just like, there's time and place to be inviting some type of people.
Did you think it was more you feeling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Way?
The motto of Bledsoe's is low and slow like a 6'4". And his motto is fast, lean, fit. You don't take fast, lean, fit
that's
to
hilarious.
Low and slow, you know?
How's your balance been?
It's been good. Like, it's been getting out of control for a little bit. That's why I've been kind of shifting it where I'll have one crazy meal and then similar to you, like nuts.
Just one meal
nuts.
A day?
Nuts.
I'm not eating out.
You
just eating
nuts,
out here.
No, back in the day, yeah, you were.
Okay,
I was.
Yeah.
But I'm off that now.
Yeah. I knew it was getting out of control because like my face and my, when I'm tying my shoe, I would just like get out of breath. Do you know, like, there's certain signs you know you're getting big, like when you're wiping your ass and it's hard.
That's an issue. You and your pregnant girl are both like.
when I'm trying to kiss my girl on the lips and our bellies hit first.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's when you know.
You guys are like, is it you or me? You, me. Who?
Shout out Dan. It was great having him there, but. Yeah. I was just so in my head.
I'm excited to meet your baby, man.
That's
just,
you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I just realized in my immediate close friend circle, I haven't really had too many friends that's had kids. Or I'm not involved in their lives at all.
Your sister had a baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but friends is a little different.
My friends. And I don't think it's even in the horizon. Like anytime soon. You know what I mean? Like in my group chat, there's like not one person.
Yeah. Are you active on your group chat again? Did you kind of make your reentry or what?
I came back. I would have liked them to miss me a little more.
They never did?
Nah, there was no like,
We're oh, that's dumb. Sad. So you came back on your own accord?
I know,
oh.
I know. So pathetic. So pathetic. I was gone for like over a month in my group chat.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for that one like, hey, anybody seen dumb?
Right.
Nothing.
That's wild.
Nothing.
Man. You have to kind of reconsider the friendship maybe a little bit.
But then I had one homie on a side text hit me up. Like, yo, why are you so quiet? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So he kind of convinced me to come back.
You guys bonded so much to that one text, that one guy.
I like that you can't say convincing. He was, he probably was like, I mean, we're kind of, you're like, yes, I do.
Well, now I know which one's my favorite in the group chat.
Exactly.
I know which one's my favorite. But
are you going to send him a gift basket?
I didn't realize that a lot of guys just don't miss each other as much as girls miss their girlfriends.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
What makes you think that?
I don't know. I don't feel like
it's a group chat.
Yeah.
No, I
yeah.
mean like that you say like girls miss each other like that.
Oh, the
I think
girls.
They verbally say that. I don't know if they necessarily always mean it. And I think guys, it's not that they don't miss you. I think it makes them uncomfortable talking about it.
Far as missing people goes, yeah. I think I've missed my partner. Like a girl I was dating or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've missed that. And there's also times where we're joking around and there's moments where like, oh, this would be like a moment that Rick would say something funny or like Steffi or Rec would say something funny. And I'd be like, and they're not there. I'd be like,
yeah,
kind of miss that moment, you know, or having that balance.
That's true. That's true. I guess that's what missing is, huh? I'm dramatizing the term missing. Like
missing is literally something is missing.
Yeah, at that moment.
Moment. Yeah.
At that moment. Okay.
And that person could fill that void that you miss, that feeling you miss. Right.
That's true. When I watch a movie and I see a scene, I'm like, oh man, Jay, he would have enjoyed this moment or something like that.
We just described what missing is, and it was literally like a missing piece. The definition is in the word itself.
Oh, man.
I think I miss, typically when I miss someone, it's the comfort or like there's an emptiness from like a loving space. That's usually what it is.
That's true.
For me.
Damn, I miss certain dishes more than I miss people. That's messed up.
What do you miss right now, food-wise? Right now, just name one thing you kind of miss.
Kimchi jjim from Jinzo.
How do you miss that? You probably had that yesterday.
No, I didn't. I haven't had Jinzo in a long time.
Will say the comfort of Korean food, I miss pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I don't have it in a week, I'll miss it.
Yeah.
You know what I missed that I didn't realize I missed was when I went over to your house that one time and you had just like Korean people in a circle.
I heard you had a little
it makes me want to cry right now.
Yeah,
when I think about it. Yeah. I could literally cry right now talking about this.
Go for it.
Should I do it?
Give it a
no,
go.
No, I don't want to. It feels like it's too vulnerable. It's too vulnerable.
Come on.
Wait, so but when's the last time you had like a family outing like that where, you know, people would just wrap
it's
lettuce
gonna
for you?
Happen right now.
Yeah.
Are you gonna give a tear?
Yeah, because of food.
I see it forming right now.
Let's see if you can give us a tear.
Well,
wow. Oh, wow. Yo, she can do it.
I need Korean food.
She's really...
Yeah. I think it's like having Koreans, like that familial stuff is like... I don't know why I'm crying right now.
Because you don't have enough of it.
I guess. It's weird because I hang out with you guys so much and we eat Korean food all the time.
Yeah.
But like having like a family of Koreans is like...
Wow.
I haven't had that in a while, I think.
Wow. So you come over whenever you want. I'll always have hand-wrapped sams for you. You know what I mean?
But I am really grateful for you guys because, like, you guys bring a lot of the Korean energy for me. And, you know, like, I just miss having, like, the family kind of situation of, like, eating in a circle and just watching, like, Korean dramas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
That
kimchi
was awkward.
Tears.
Kimchi
tears.
That was amazing.
Wow.
Like, wait, hold on.
You're welcome. That was like my...
Wait, I don't understand what just happened right now. Hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah, wait.
Were you seriously in the... Did you put it on?
I'm also taking acting classes.
Okay.
Where, you know what? I've been doing what we're talking about is that we automatically turn off our...
Holy...
That almost... You know, I think what makes me cry is when I see people emotional. Because that almost got me going.
I saw you too. It was that glistening a little bit.
It was glistening, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Steph, that's...
And the award for the most nostalgic tears goes to...
It was about food.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Now I don't trust women even more. No, I'm kidding. Oh. That's amazing.
I would expect kimchi tears from Rick, but not you. That was wild.
I think it triggered me when I saw his house.
Yeah. I remember you.
Does it make it you think weird. Of like your grandparents or something? Yeah. Is that what it is, maybe? Right.
Well, not just my grandparents, like everyone in my life that was like Korean growing up. I don't have that anymore.
So you really love those moments?
Well, it felt like safe, you know, and it felt like a lot of love and care and affection without having to be anyone else but yourself.
That's so crazy. I don't have any moment like that.
You probably do, but you wouldn't. You probably just don't access it because...
Maybe that, you're right.
That, okay,
you're right.
So in my acting class, what I realized is like we were practicing like just talking to people in a way without using words. So it's not talking, it's emoting with each other, right?
And wait, so you just like stare at each other?
It's like he'll give us like some... the last five classes, he was like, bring something that's hard to work on because you're going to focus on that thing that's hard to do.
Yeah.
And someone's going to like react to you, not on words, but just like saying things, but it's more about like the reaction to the other person. And it's funny because the Asian kids in our class, there's three of us, it was really hard for us to access our emotion because the first thing that happens to us, instead of being like annoyed that someone's not paying attention to us, what would happen is we try to understand the person or we try to put on a pretty face for them and be like, oh, what's wrong? But you can't do that. You have to go to your animal instinct. And we learn as we get older to shut off these like, shut that part of our vulnerability
it's
out.
It's like a people-pleasing part of us, huh?
Exactly. That's very much ingrained. It's like, I saw kids, I don't know if you guys were in class, would ever talk back to the teacher.
Yeah.
But like some people do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
And it's we're all, like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's like such a big deal. But it's because we are so polite.
Right.
We learn how to be polite, how to shut off our natural instinct. And so like in that class, it made me realize how much I put something on without... like almost unconsciously versus it being like, why don't I feel the feelings and like use more of my heart when I'm talking?
I definitely think I've locked away certain core memories.
Yeah. Most of us have though, you know, in some way.
I feel like I focused so much on dysfunctional parts of my life and it's been such a narrative of my story for so long.
Yeah.
I've started drifting further and further away from like possible
right.
good memories that I've had with my family or thing.
You good?
You good?
You're an incredible actor.
You thought I was acting?
That wasn't acting.
That wasn't acting.
She really let it out.
I really believed, I really thought about that moment and it made me emotional about like that. I could even, right now, I could feel it again.
Wow.
I'm trying to tap into more of my emotional side because I think a lot of us are very logical, the three of us.
Right.
And as I practice that, because I want to be more naturally emotional.
Right.
Because I think that taps into the feminine.
Yeah. You think all three of us are more analytical?
Oh, absolutely. We're heady. You don't think that we're like smart
emotional.
I mean, I think there is emotion involved, but I don't know if that's the first thing we lead with. I mean, podcasting is usually very like heady too.
That's just true. I'm inside my head all the time.
Yeah, because we're thinking about what the next thing and all this stuff. But I wasn't acting. I want you to know that.
Okay.
I wasn't. I'm saying is the
class. I don't retract what I said because I think you're a great actor.
Also,
I didn't know that. I thought.
No, I truly was thinking about how I miss familial feelings of familyhood that I had growing up that I just don't get to have anymore.
Mm. Wow.
That's it.
I mean, you can put yourself in those situations.
Yeah,
right?
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, my door is always open for you. You know that. I even invited her to Kamjatang yesterday. You know what I mean?
I will say, Rick, you do provide some great experiences that remind me of a traditional Korean household.
Yeah.
You
know?
Like when you're grilling at your house, there's newspaper on the table.
Yeah.
You know, just there's aluminum foiled with garlic just in there.
And then feeding us. Like
feeding
us.
Yeah.
And you know, like I always joke around about how I hate that. But when it comes towards me, I open wide.
We become babies.
I start chewing and I'm like, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
good.
I don't know.
There is this tribal, just kind of like communal effect there is with Korean barbecue, man. Just our cuisine in general. It's about sharing, you know? It's about sharing that love and being selfless at that moment. I love hosting. I love doing that for people. That is my joy. You know what I mean? So You guys are always welcome anytime you need it, you know?
Thank you.
I do feel that a nudge is sometimes needed in life.
Mm.
I hate when people bug me. But if you, like, when I ask you to stop nudging me, like, the third time,
right,
stop.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? But sometimes people nudge me and get me to try to do something, and I don't regret it after I do the thing.
Right.
Oh, like that time we went painting and I took you guys and you hated it? No, I remember when that was big nudge.
I do things I hate for my friends that I love.
Right.
That's when, that's the only time that.
But that's the beauty of friendship, is you need to know how many nudges a friend requires. Does that make sense?
That's what I'm saying. Some friends don't know. They don't have the nunchi of the nudges. How do you not know?
The worst of friends are the ones that are too scared to nudge each other at all. Because then there's just like, there's no activity. There's nothing there, you know? But with you, with us, we know, like, oh, okay, he's going to say no and make fun of me once, but the second time, he'll open his mouth and try it. Third time, he'll have his mouth open. That's
You also have to gauge, some friends have more nudges than other friends. Like, you get 4 nudges, but you only get 2.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean? There's certain friends that I can take more nudges from and or less nudges from.
Yeah.
You got to know which friend you are. You're a 2-nudge friend. You're a 4-nudge friend. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And there are friends that will never show you that they're satisfied, but they're internally happy. And you have to understand that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know the ones that are just griping the whole time, but you know that they're happy inside?
Yes, for sure.
My grandma was like that. As she got older, like, we'd bring her food and she'd be like, "Why'd you bring this? It smells. Get out of here." And then we'd pretend like we're leaving and we'd peek in the room and she's like, you know? It's like, you have to understand.
You have a lot of nudge clout. No, real talk. The reason I will take many suggestions from you or many nudges from you to do certain things,
it's
because you've created some great experiences.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Like, your credit score is up there. You know what I mean?
My nudge score?
Your nudge score is good.
But then how come you don't let go?
Steffi's nudges, she doesn't have a great credit score with her nudges. But I am more lenient towards her because
her intent is good.
She has this kind of innocence to her, so I'll deal with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I'll deal with it. It's like dealing with like a family member. You know what I mean? I'll do that.
Yeah.
But there's certain friends like, no, bro, no, chill. You know?
Yeah. There's times I would you know, listen to someone's nudge, and I'm there. I'm just like, why the hell are we here? Like,
this is, that's the worst. Is when you're like,
everyone's not enjoying it. Like, this is so terrible.
Like, I should have gone with my first instinct.
My first instinct.
Like, why the f*** did I do this?
Yes, exactly.
I get so mad at
myself. Waste of time, money, energy, all that.
My dad, we used to try to take him to American diners back in the day. He used to hate that. And afterwards, we'd come home and he would make like a ramen.
Yeah.
You know, he just, it was not satisfying enough.
Do you feel like he's like your dad?
Yes,
I'm a very the older I get, I realized how Korean I am. Like,
did you not realize that back then?
Well, I was trying to stray away from it. You know, I was trying to I want to leave this a little bit, not because I was ashamed, but because I felt like it was literally placing a limit to myself.
But it was like a little like a.
But
Mr.
then
Hyde.
Now it's like, I'm so proud of it. It's like I'm embracing it and preaching it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And in a weird way, like, because that's who I am internally, it feels like the right thing to do.
I went Super Saiyan.
Bob Ross. Exactly. Man. Heck yeah.
I mean, it's great. I mean, our food is great. Culture is rich.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great time. It's a great time to be alive.
I think it's like with Korean get together, like, I think at least our generation growing up, our parents didn't really talk to us or show us love. Like, they didn't know how to show us love, and we didn't really understand what love really was except in that space. So that space is so connected to the amount of love we were shown is in the food space, in the dinner room. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, and so that feeling, I think, already kind of like draws these like emotional things that we're not necessarily accustomed. I know for you it was a little different because it was a scary place, the dining room.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah. That was only probably a certain part of your life. There must have been other parts where...
Do you think, you know, the way we treat in American culture, like the I love you phrase is like a big deal, right? In a relationship when you use the L word.
Yeah.
And we see it in Korean dramas, right? Saranghae. It's like dramatic. Mm. Is it really like that in Korean relationships? Like, is there a moment where you drop the sarang? Like the way we treat love, like the L word?
Right.
Is there the
you mean in Korea? In Korea,
like 사랑해, is that like a big moment in that relationship? You think?
Because I don't think I even heard the word 사랑 that much, man.
I can't imagine my dad dropping that to my mom, like 사랑해. Like I can't even imagine that.
사랑해.
Right? Do you,
it kind of gives me like
not the same, right?
Like, yeah, it gave me the ick right now a little bit, right? I was like, ooh,
that's
what?
Weird,
right? I don't think it exists. Like we see it in Korean dramas, right? But I don't know if we've really. Maybe it didn't exist in my house. I could be wrong. Maybe in your house it existed. But.
I was gonna ask about this. Is are you gonna show affection toward? You know how you probably didn't grow up seeing affection from your parents growing up. Or did you
in the early ages? I didn't, but I do now.
Are you gonna show it to your kid?
Absolutely.
I think it's really important to show love and affection.
Yeah.
An example.
Yeah. I mean, Donna's such an affectionate woman. So she's definitely going to lead the charge with that. But I'm not going to lie. I'm a very emo guy. I'm a very emo guy. I'm very like emotional. And if, you know, I love showing love to whatever I love. You know,
even if I don't show the affection, I'll turn on the Hallmark Channel and be like, this is what affection looks like. And you deserve all of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. To put on reruns of Seventh Heaven. Like, this is what...
No,
I'm kidding. I'm going to show a lot of love. I think I got to work on that internally first. You know, I probably should get going on that. On my end, I should probably get that going. No. I think I would. I think naturally it'll pour out of me.
Yeah, man. Of course.
Yeah. Play pickleball, whatever. I don't know where pickleball came from.
Pickleball is like taking over. Everyone's playing pickleball these days, man.
Yeah, people are mad about that. I think tennis players.
Yeah, tennis players hate it because they think it's like a lazy sport. They're
taking over the courts, you know what I mean?
There hasn't been like a hot new sport in a while, huh? Pickleball came out of nowhere. Like
that's like a senior citizen retirement home sport.
Were people at one point just like, okay, no more sports. Like we got enough. Because how come there hasn't been a new sport in super long?
There's been a lot of variations of fighting sports, though.
Oh, true.
Yeah, there's like foam booth boxing. There's
the one thing we didn't need. Like, let's find more ways to fight.
I think it's more so because there's video games, and that's how you guys fight or whatever. I fucking hate Oppenheimer. Can I just throw that out there?
Why?
Because it was.
Oh, you saw it.
Yeah, and it was just so violent, and obviously it's violent, but it was just so like...
It wasn't necessarily violent. They're just making a destructional weapon.
Yeah, that's violent. That's the biggest violence.
But there's not necessarily violence in the... You know what I mean? There's just a lot of verbal warfare, if anything, in it.
Yeah, so the whole movie is it's about violence. It's about this like crazy thing that man created.
Yeah.
And it's caused so much pain in so many people's lives.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean.
I am curious if he really had a Dr. Oppenheimer who created the, what bomb is that?
Yeah, the atom bomb.
The atom bomb.
Right.
I literally saw the movie and I still.
Bomb. Yeah. Yeah. This guy wanted to go so bad.
Do you really?
I turn and he's falling asleep.
I don't know if I fully believe he had a huge moral dilemma.
Well, I mean, I didn't see the movie, but wasn't he under a lot of pressure from other people saying, yo, we're in a race. If you don't do it, they're going to do it.
When I hear Oppenheimer say, I am the destroyer of worlds, like Oppenheimer said, I am the destroyer of worlds, it sounds kind of egomaniac. Mm. I'm kind of like, we're destroying the world too, buddy. Relax. You're not the only one responsible.
One plastic bag at a time.
You know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, he contributed something that killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there's tons of other people destroying the world in their own way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, buddy, relax, Galactus. Right. You know, all right? It has a little bit of an egomaniac element to it, too. So
I got to see it.
On that note, I think we're going to wrap things up. We literally cried. We did. Yeah. We laughed. We reminisced, and I appreciate everybody out there who's been following us this past few weeks. We're catching up after a while because we've kind of had a couple of episodes stacked up.
Yeah.
So we haven't been able to like speak on current events that are actually happening in real time. But thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate it. And tune in next week for another episode of Fun with Dumb.